organs of perception, the antakaranas, the karmendriyas, all those things. So we will just read from there.
Yetesham panchatattvanam madhye akashasya satvikamshat shrotrendriyam sambhutam vayo satvikamshat swagindriyam sambhutam agne satvikamshat chakshurindriyam sambhutam jalasya satvikamshat rasanendriyam sambhutam prithivya satvikamshat ghranendriyam sambhutam yetesham panchatattvanam samashti satvikamshat mano buddhi ahankara chitta antakaranani sambhutani sankalpa vikalpaatmaka manaha nischayatmika buddhihi ahankarta ahankaraha chintana kartru chittam manaso devata chandramaha buddher brahma ahankarasya rudraha chittasya vasudevaha etesham panchatattvana madhye akashasya rajasamshat vagindriyam sambhutam vayoho rajasamshat pranendriyam sambhutam vannehe rajasamshat vadendriyam sambhutam jalasya satvikamshat gudendriyam sambhutam prithivya rajasamshat upasthendriyam sambhutam etesham samashti rajasamshat panchapranaha sambhutaha panchikaranam katam iti chet etesham panchatattvanam tamasamshat panchikrita panchatattvani bhavanti panchikaranam katam iti chet etesham panchamahabhutanam tamasamshat swarupam ekamekam bhutam dvidagbhajya ekamekam ardham prithak tushnim vyavasthapyam aparamaparam ardham chaturthavibhajyam swardham anyeshu ardheshu swabhaga chatushtayam samyojanam karyam tada panchikaranam bhavati etebhyaham panchikrita panchamahabhutebhyaham stulashariram bhavati evam pinda brahmandayoho aikyam sambhutam. So we read up to here and we also went a little further about the jiva and ishvara. Stula sharirabhimani jivanamakam brahma pratibimbam bhavati sayeva jivaham prakrityam swasmat ishvaram bhinnatvena janati avidyopadisan atma jiva ityuchyate mayopadisan ishvaraha ityuchyate evam upadibhedat jiva ishvara veda drishtihi yavat paryantam tishtati tavat paryantam janma maranadi rupa samsaraha na nivartate tasmat karanat na jiva ishvarayor veda buddhihi svikarya. We did up to this in the last webinar, the jiva ishvara aikyam and the veda buddhi, that jiva and ishvara are different, that should not be taken at all anytime. That was what the doctrine of the author about the jiva and ishvara. Now today we will go further, where the student gets a doubt. If the author has to say that there is no difference between the jiva and ishvara, but the student is not able to assimilate that verdict, because in his perception, jiva is dinaha, he is anataha, alpajnaha, alpashaktiman, so jiva is a limited person, whereas Ishvara is supposed to be sarvashaktiman, sarvajnaha, he is not limited at all. So when such a difference is there, how can one accept that jiva and Ishvara are same? So to explain this, the Acharya goes through some discussion, bringing even the Mahavakyas. We are going to see that today. So we will read that portion.
Nanu sahankarasya chinkinjignasya jivasya నిరహంకారస్య సర్వజ్ఞస్య ఈశ్వరస్య తత్వమసీతి మహావాక్యాత్ కథం భేదబుద్ధి స్యాద్ ఉభయోః విరుద్ధ ధర్మ ఆక్రాంతత్వాత్. So again, Acharya goes through some other discussion here, some detailed discussion here. He is bringing out the Mahavakya, Tattvamasi. He is bringing that Mahavakya. There are a lot of Mahavakyas in the Vedas. Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasi, Prajnanam Brahma, these are all Mahavakyas. So all those statements which talk about the oneness of Jiva and Ishvara, wherever they are told in the Vedas, we call them as Mahavakyas. Tattvamasi is one such Mahavakya, and the Acharya is now quoting that Tattvamasi Mahavakyam in this discussion. So, Nanu Sahankarasya, from that section, we have to now go through this discussion now. Now, the Jiva and Ishvara, if both are same, then where do you find the Pramanam for this statement? That would be the question. Where one finds the Pramana, the proof or the authoritarian way of saying this, where do you find it? The Acharya says it is not my own statement. It is actually quoted from the scriptures itself. Tattvamasi. Tat means that Ishvara, and Tvam. Tvam means you, the Jiva. That Ishvara and you, the Jiva, Asi, you both are identical. So that is the statement that is given in the scriptures. Acharya wants to quote it again because Acharya does not want to claim that it is his assertion, it is what is quoted from the Shruti itself. It is not my personal idea. Tatu Tvam Asi is a Mahavakyam. It is not my own assertion, it is the assertion of the Shruti. So it's not a very big sentence or anything, it's a very, very small statement, but it brings out the Aikyam between the Jiva and Ishvara. So the student is going to object now, katam abheda buddhihi syat. How this understanding is possible? What understanding? This abheda buddhi, the non-difference between the Jiva and Ishvara, how that is possible? So the answer for that is tattvamasiti mahavakyat. Through the mahavakyam tattvamasi as quoted from the scriptures. So through that, this assertion is possible. Why this problem comes? Nanu. Nanu means but. Because nanu. Viruddha dharma akrantatvat. Viruddha dharma. Viruddha dharma means the opposite natures. The opposite qualities. Opposite nature. Akrantatvat means endowed with. The Jiva and the Ishvara, they both are endowed with opposite nature, opposite qualities. So ubayoho means jiva ishwarayoho, between the jiva and ishwara. So the properties, when you look at the properties, the substantially they may be same, but the properties, they all seem to be very different. What is the jiva? Jiva is sahankaraha jivaha. He has ahankara. The jiva is endowed with ahankara, identified with his body. I am the doer. I am the doer notion. That when we ask a person, who are you? Person immediately starts to give his bio data. He says, I am so and so, I am manager, I am this, I am that. So all those things, they talk about the individuality of the Jiva, the Ahankara element. And second thing is, Kinchignya, he is the one, Kinchignya, the one who is, who has limited knowledge. Kinchignyana, Alpagnya, the one who knows only limited, who has only limited knowledge, that is the Jiva. So these are the two examples, which Acharya gives, whereas we can always extrapolate in so many other ways also, the Jiva is very limited compared to the Ishvara, one can look at it. And so when you look at the Ishvara, Ishvara is nirahankarasya. Ishvara does not have ahankara at all. The doer notion, the individuality notion is not at all. That the body of the Lord, what? The whole creation is his body. There is nothing like separately for the Ishvara to claim it is his body. The whole creation is his body. And he manifests.
he takes avataras, whereas the janma, the birth and death for an individual, they come out of his own punya papas. Whatever punya papas one has done, that gives rise to his own birth. Whereas in case of Ishvara, his avatara is out of his own will, it is not out of his punya papas. So that is the biggest difference between the jiva and Ishvara, because avataras are by the will, by his own assertion, by his own desire. The Lord, he takes avataras. So this is, and he takes this avatar again also for what? For lokanugrahartham, for the sake of doing anugraha to this world, the Lord takes this avataras. And sarvajnyasya, he is omniscient, he has all the knowledge. The Lord is the one who is the repository of all knowledge. So it is like the for example, he is the one who is created this entire universe. If you take, for example, a potter who creates a pot, potter has the knowledge of the pot. He uses the clay material to make the pot, and he has knowledge of the pot to make the pot. In the same way, when Ishvara creates this entire universe, he has the total knowledge of the entire universe. So he is Sarvajnaha and Sarvashaktiman. So when such an Ishvara is there, I, the jiva, who is so limited individual, how I can assert myself as to be the jiva and Ishvara to be same? So how this abheda buddhihi, katham abheda buddhihi syat? How can I have the opinion that they both are not, they both are same? How is it possible? Iti chet means, if somebody has to ask this question, if a student has to ask this question, somebody has to ask this question, then the acharya again, he goes to reply to that thing. He says, sthula sukshma sharirabhimani tvampada vachyartha upadhi vinirmuktam samadhi dasha sampannam shuddham chaitanyam tvampada lakshyartha. So acharya again, he goes through some technicalities here in the way he wants to explain this. He asks, what do you mean by the word I? When you say, I am a limited individual, I am so and so, what do you mean by the word I, the jivaha? I, does it refer to your body, or I, does it refer to the chaitanya? Does it refer to the chaitanya principle or the body? Shariram or shariri? We have used this term shariri earlier also. So do you refer to your shariram, the anatma? These words are all very familiar to us by now. So, shariram, the anatma, or shariri, the atma. What do you refer to? So, from the point of view of the body, there are differences. And those differences have to be definitely recognized. But from the point of view of consciousness, or the atma, that is sthulam, sukshmam, karana, sharirat, vyatiriktaha atma. We have seen that earlier. The chaitanyam is different from all these. It is totally different from all these. Upadhi drishtya. Upadhi drishtya, sharira drishtya. Upadhi. This word also is familiar to us from the previous discussion. Upadhi, the medium. The sharira drishtya, from the point of view of the body, there are vedas. There are differences. But chaitanya drishtya, there is only aikyam. If you only look at from the point of view of consciousness, atma, there is only aikyam, there is no difference at all. So when Veda says you both are identical, the jiva and Ishvara are both identical, it talks from the point of view of chaitanya. So jiva Ishvara, Veda buddhihi is what? Samsara karana. If somebody is going to have this different attitude towards jiva and Ishvara as separate, then he is in samsara. Whereas when a person has got abheda buddhi, between jiva and Ishvara there is no difference at all, when he has the abheda buddhi, then it is the reason for moksha. That person becomes liberated. So that is the difference. Yeah? So idi chet, if some such question has to ask, then acharya says na. Idi chet na. Idi chet na. Idi chet na. If the question has to be asked like that, na. I cannot accept it. It is not true. Why? Again, the same question is, what do you mean by Jiva and Ishvara? Is it the bangle and the ring are identical? People may ask the question, because from Jiva Drishti, from the point of view of the body, the bangle is different from the ring, is different from some other ornament, whereas from substance, the point of view of substance, all of them are same because they are all substantially gold. So that is what, so Nama, Rupa and Karma, there may be difference. There may be differences between the name, form and function, whereas substantially there is no difference at all. All of them are gold only. So from the point of view of essence, both of them are same. So Nama, Rupa, Karma differences will be there. Substantially, substance-wise, essence-wise, they are same. And again, Jiva is also, we already saw earlier, Jiva is what? Is avidya plus consciousness. Avidya, we already in the last class we went through that discussion. Avidya are the karna shariram plus consciousness is jivaha, and Ishvara is pure maya plus consciousness. So that different, that the discussion also we had earlier, the malina sattvam and the shuddha sattvam, we went through that. This avidya plus consciousness and also maya plus consciousness. So sthula sharira abhimani, sthula sharira abhimani, tvam pada vachyartha, sthula sharira abhimani, tvam pada vachyartha, upadhi vinirmuktam, samadhi dasha sampannam, shuddham chaitanyam, tvam pada lakshyartha. We have also spoken earlier about vachyartha and lakshyartha. For any word, there could be a vachyartha, the literal meaning, and also there could be a lakshyartha, the implied meaning. So here, when you look at the vachyartha, whatever is the actual literal meaning of the word, and also what is the lakshyartha, tvampada. For the tvampada vachyartha, if one has to take the actual, the literal meaning of tvampada vachyartha, then it will be, I don't know why this went out. I don't know why this. Light is gone. It's gone. The tvampada vachyartha, the person who associates himself with the sthula sharira, that means he is not associating himself with the atman, associating himself with the sthula shariram, that is the literal meaning for jiva. Upadhi vinirmuktam samadhi dasha sampannam shuddham chaitanyam tvampada lakshyartha, whereas the lakshyartha of the person is upadhi sunyam. Actually, evam sarvajnatvadi visishta ishvaraha tvampada vachyartha. That's what we told for the vachyartha for the ishvara also. So, the literal meaning of the word that is the ishvara having omniscience, etc. That is for the ishvara. Upadhi shunya shuddha chaitanyam tvampada lakshyartha. The implied meaning of the word that is the pure consciousness. So in both the cases, the jiva, the implied word for him, is not the body, it is again the atma. And in terms of Ishvara also, it is not sarvajna sarvasaktiman, that kind of a thing, it is also atma only. So that is how the actual understanding of the word, this tvam padam and tat padam, has to be understood. So that is what the author concludes. So the differences between the jiva and Ishvara will disappear the moment one goes to the plane of Chaitanyam, from the actual literal meaning of the body or sarvajnaha, those kind of things. So stula sharira abhimani jivanamakam, stula sharira abhimani tvam pada vachyartham and upadhi nirmuktam samadhi dasha sampannam shuddham chaitanyam tvam pada lakshyartha. That is how one has to interpret these two words, this tvampadam and tvampadavachyartham and tvampadrikshyartham. So upadhi vinirmukham samadhi dasha sampannam shuddham chaitanyam. Shuddham chaitanyam, the pure consciousness, it's a knowledge free from all conditioning. Conditioning here refers to upadhis, all the conditioning, and endowed with the state of samadhi. So such a thing is called the atma, and that is the lakshyartha of the tvam pada. Evam sarvajnyatvadi visishta ishvaraha tad pada vachyartha. So if you take actually the literal meaning of the word vachyartha, for the tad padam is the literal meaning of the word tat, is what is the ishvaram with omniscience, sarvajnaha sarvashaktiman, that is the literal meaning. Whereas upadhi shunyam shuddha chaitanyam tad padam lakshyartha, the lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word tat, is the pure consciousness shuddha chaitanyam, which is free from all conditionings. Upadhi shunyam, upadhi shunyam means upadhi, the medium. Last class we talked about the upadhi medium. What is the medium for Ishvara? What is the medium for the jiva? We went through avidya is the medium for jiva and maya is the medium for Ishvara. So without avidya, the medium for jiva, without maya, the medium for Ishvara, both are only shuddha chaitanya. So that is the understanding one should have. That is the implied meaning. So evancha jiva Ishvara yoho chaitanya rupena abhede badaka bhavaha. So there is no contradiction, there is no the abhedam, that contradiction abhavaha, there is no contradiction at all regarding the identity, the jiva ishvara yoho aikyam, the identity between the jiva and Ishvara from the point of view of consciousness. So that is the conclusion Acharya makes, for which he is quoting from the Shruti, from the Vedas, how the Pramana for his assertion that Jiva and Ishvara are not different, how that Pramana has come about by quoting from the Veda itself, the Tattvamasi, the Mahavakya. So with that, the Acharya concludes the discussion about the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. So this is the very important topic. Actually, this is like the central theme of the entire subject matter of Tattvabodha, that Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, the oneness, which is the crux of the Advaita Siddhanta, is that the crux, Jiva Ishvara are one. Now, the Acharya is going to now change the topic here, because when we want to talk about here the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, we also want to talk about the Jivan Muktaha, the one who is a Jnani, who is a person who is a Jivan Muktaha. That topic is going to be talked now. And Acharya, Nanu Jivan Muktaha Kaha. So he is asking this question, who is the Jivan Muktaha? That question Acharya has to answer now, because that is a very separate and very, very elaborate topic. एवञ्च वेदान्तवाक्यैः सद्गुरु उपदेशेन च सर्वेषु अपि भूतेषु येषां ब्रह्मबुद्धिरुत्पन्ना ते जीवन्मुक्ताः इत्यर्थः. सो आचार्य also gives here definition also. This is a very, very nice topic, and also, as I told, it's a very, very important topic. Because this section, it enumerates, actually, it talks about the benefit, the jnana phala. If somebody has to have this knowledge of the aikyam between the jiva and the Ishvara, the jnana phalam of such a person, that is what is being talked about here. The knowledge of the self, the one who realizes the identity, the aikyam between the jiva and Ishvara, that person, he identifies himself with Brahma or pure consciousness. He identifies himself with Brahma or pure consciousness. And this knowledge of Vedanta, this Advaita knowledge, that should be imparted. It cannot be just read from a book or heard from somewhere. This knowledge has to be imparted by a guru. Acharya now emphasizes the need for a guru upadesha. Because only a guru can indicate that the subtle meaning behind Vedanta and make a person realize oneself. The knowledge that can be gained, actually, normally, if you talk about any knowledge, the knowledge can be gained in three different ways. We already know what are pratyaksha pramanas, paroksha pramanam, and also the aparoksha knowledge. Pratyaksha knowledge, the pratyaksha knowledge is actually a direct knowledge, and that is gained by a direct perception of any object by our sense organs. One can directly perceive something, and then one can understand what it is. So the object will be near, the knower is the perceiver, and one will be able to perceive very quickly using one's own organs of perception. And paroksha knowledge is about something which is not close by and is not very obvious to the perceiver also, but the means of knowledge is through some inference. For example, if there is a smoke, one doesn't see the fire, but you see the smoke in the distance, then one can infer there should be a fire in that place. And such a knowledge is not a pratyaksha knowledge, it is a paroksha knowledge. That is, it is not directly seen, perceived, but inferred. And in addition to these two, there is a third knowledge, which we call it as aparoksha knowledge, which is neither direct knowledge nor indirect knowledge gained through an inference. That knowledge, but is an immediate knowledge. Immediate knowledge is what is to realize that the object of knowledge already exists in oneself. That is the knowledge. The object of knowledge, whatever one wants to know about, that already exists in oneself. For example, one takes the knowledge of the self. That can only qualify such an immediate definition compared to all other things. And that can be only imparted by a guru. Knowledge of the self, the knowledge about myself, that can be known, that knowledge, the moment I know, Brahmavit apnoti param, the moment a person knows, not Brahman, he immediately gains supreme. That's what it said. So it is an immediate knowledge. It's an immediate definition. And that can be only imparted by a guru, by his teachings. That is why earlier itself we once mentioned, the guru should be Shrotriyam Brahmanishtha, not only a person who should be a Shrotriya, the one who has learned from his guru. It's not some guru who learned from some textbook or somewhere. He is a guru who learned from a guru and who also is established in the knowledge of the self, Brahmanishtha. So such a guru one has to approach to gain this knowledge. So when the jiva realizes that he is Brahman or Shuddha Chaitanyam, then such a person, he becomes a Jivan Muktaha. Jivan Muktaha means what? In this birth itself, the person becomes liberated and he becomes a Videha Muktaha after leaving this body. Videha Muktaha means after leaving this Deha, this body, he becomes a Videha Muktaha also. So as a result of this knowledge of the Aikyam, between the oneness between the jiva and Ishvara, the jiva becomes a jnani. Such a person, we call him a jnani, a jivan muktaha, and such a person is liberated. So the liberation, when we say he is liberated, he is free, that refers from, he is free from samsara, he is free from the karma pala. whatever actions he does, he is free from the results of those actions. And that is going to be the discussion from now on. Evancha Vedanta Vakyehi Sadguru Upadeshena cha Sarveshu Api Bhuteshu Yesham Brahma Buddhir Panna Te Jivan Muktaha Ityartaha. By the Vedantic teachings, Vedanta Vakyehi, words of the Vedanta, imparted by Sadguru Upadeshena, imparted by a guru, a Vedantic teacher, a Sadguru, those in whom the knowledge of Brahma with, you know, the person who is the knowledge of Brahman with respect to all beings is born. They are the Jivan Muktas, they are the liberated souls while living in themselves. While living in this, with this physical body itself, they are considered to be liberated. Vedanta Vakyehi, by Vedantic teachings. And again, Sadguru Upadeshena, with the teachings of a Vedantic teacher. Here, Sat means, Sat refers to Atma, that teacher who knows the self, who knows Atma, the one who is Brahmanishtam, who is ever established in the knowledge of Brahman, who is himself a Shrotri, who learned from a guru himself. So such a teacher. So Sadguru Upadeshena cha, from the teachings of such a guru, with the teachings, then Sarveshu Api Bhuteshu Yesham Brahma Buddhi Utpanna. Those people in whom the knowledge of Brahman is born with respect to all beings. Sarveshu Api Bhuteshu. With respect to all beings. The teacher cannot say that I am Brahman and you are all not. He cannot teach like that. The teacher to teach, I am Brahman, you are all Brahman also. Everything is Brahman. And such a teacher, so who teaches? Sarveshu api bhuteshu yesham brahma buddhi rutpanna. Knowledge of Brahman is there. The knowledge is born with respect to all creations, all beings, jivan muktaha ityartaha. That's the person is known as Jivan Muktas. They are known as Jivan Muktas, liberated from samsara, free from samsara. That is the knowledge that I am Purnahasmi. That is the knowledge he gains. I am Purnahasmi, Aham Purnosmi, Aham Truptosmi, Aham Brahmosmi. So that person who says Aham Brahmasmi, he just doesn't only, he understands he is Purnaha. There is nothing lacking for him to attain in this world. He is ever Purnaha, he is ever liberated. So for such a person, there is nothing to attain. He doesn't lack anything. He is Purnaha all the time. So he is liberated. He is not bound by any karma. Such a person is ever liberated. Then the student will ask, Nanu Jivan Muktaha Kaha? Student will ask, who is such a Jivan Mukta? That would be the question. Who is Jivan Mukta? So again, Acharya now goes into further details of the definition of the Jivan Mukta. We'll read, Yatha Dehoham Purushoham Brahmanoham Shrudroham Asmi Iti Dhrida Nischayam Stata Naham Brahmanaha Na Shudraha Na Purushaha Kintu Asangaha Sachidananda Swarupaha Prakasha Rupaha Sarvantaryami Chitakasha Rupaha Asmi Iti Dhrida Nischayam Rupaha Aparoksha Jnanavane Jivan Muktaha. So the Aparoksha Jnanam, this immediate knowledge of what, that is what is defined here. The Paroksha Jnanam and Aparoksha Jnanam, we have Pratyaksha Jnanam, all those things we just know some. The Aparoksha Jnanam, through this Aparoksha Jnanam, the person, such a person who has that jnanam, he is called a Jivan Muktaha. So who are, now how this person otherwise he would define? As the person who has the firm belief. What is the belief? That is the nischay, the belief which is very firm in him, that I am the body. Dehoham, yata dehoham, dehaha aham, purushoham, I am this person, purushoham, purushaha aham, brahmanoham, I am Brahmana, I am Shudra, I am Brahmana. He may have a superiority complex, or he may think that he is the greatest, and Shudraha, he may have an inferiority complex. But this person, a person who has all that, na purushaha, kindu asangaha,
to Brahmanam, Sudroham Asmi Iti, Grida Nishchayams, Tata. So the person who has such a knowledge, I am Shudra. So also, I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Shudra, I am not a man. Na Shudra, na aham Brahmanaha, na Shudraha, na Purushaha, but I am ever unattached. Kintu asangaha. I am not associated with any of these namarupas. I am of the nature of Sachidananda Swarupaha, of the nature of Sat, Chit, and Ananda Swarupaha. Such a person and Prakasha Rupaha, ever effulgent person, a person who has that knowledge, he is effulgent with that jnana. Ever effulgent, the Sarvantaryami, the indweller of all the formless awareness, Sarvantaryami, the person who is the indweller of all beings, and the Chidakasha Rupaha. Chidakasha Rupaha means the Akasha Rupaha, this is Chita, formless awareness, Chidakasha Rupaha. Chidambaram, Adambaram, Chidambaram, the word we are Chidambaram, Chidakasham. So the formless awareness of that form. So one having this firmly ascertained aparoksha jnana, this is an immediate knowledge, such a person is Jivan Muktaha. So as a person who is not a jnani, who thinks that I am the body, I am a man, if somebody asks me who am I don't have to find somebody else to prove that I exist or something, I know I am there. Person who has the firm belief that I am the body, I am a man, I am a lady, I am a Brahmin, I am a Shudra. As much the firm belief a person has, same way the Jnani is one who knows firmly, I am not Brahmin, I am not a Shudra, I am not a Purushaha, I am unattached, ever Asangaha, I am of the nature of Sachidananda. So that firm assertion, that firm belief, that firm assertion that person has, he is such a person, is called a Jivan Muktaha. So he is Asangaha, the one who is ever detached. So that Dhridhanischaya, that knowledge that he is ever attached, that firm belief in that particular knowledge, such a person is called a Jivan Muktaha. So that is the definition of a Jivan Mukta the Acharya tries to give in this section. So Chidakasha Rupaha, that is actually we spoke, he is like the awareness, like space-like. You know, space is there everywhere, the formless consciousness. Here actually Chaitanyam is compared here to the all-pervading space. Space is there everywhere, so Chaitanyam is also. So to talk about the all-pervading nature of Chaitanyam, space is given here as the example. Actually, practically, there may be no differences between a Jivan Mukta and all others. We should not think a Jivan Mukta will have two horns on his head. No. There is no physical difference between a Jivan Mukta and an ordinary person, a Jnani and an ordinary person, except that the attitude, the awareness, the Jnanam he has. I am not the body, I am the Chaitanya. He wants the Brahmanhood of himself. He is discounting the bodyhood of the person. He is not the body, the Anatma. So now the author, he will now elaborate on who a Jivan Mukta is, the same topic. He is now going to talk more about this topic of Jivan Mukta, how that person is free from bondage and so many other things he is going to talk. And in this process, he is going to bring the discussion of karma. So, Brahmaivaham asmi iti aparoksha jnanena nikila karma bandha vinirmuktaha syat. By the immediate knowledge, aparoksha jnana, by the immediate knowledge that I am Brahman, Brahmaivaham asmi, that I am Brahman, with that immediate knowledge, a person through the Brahmaivaham aparoksha jnana, he becomes free from samsara of all karmas. Nikila karma bandha vinmuktaha. Karma bandham, the afflictions of all actions, when a person wants up, the karma palam of all actions, the person becomes bound by the karma palam of those actions. When a jnani, when he doesn't claim the karma, he doesn't claim, the I am the doer concept is not there with him. Aham karta, aham bhokta, that knowledge is not with him at all. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, that awareness the jnani doesn't have at all. So because of that, when he is not the doer, he is also not bound by the karma phalam of those actions. So nikhila karma bandham vinirmuktaha syat, he becomes free from the karma bandhas, the karma phalam, namely samsara here, the samsara of all karmas. So such a jnani, he becomes liberated from the karma bandhas. Now, the question here is, the Acharya introduced the word karma bandha. So he becomes nikila karma bandha vinirmuktaha syat. One becomes free from the bondage of all karmas, of all actions. Then we come to the question, now, what do you mean by karma? This is a very important topic again. What do you mean by karma? The Acharya is going to take elaborate discussion in detailing what he means by karma. Actually, when we talk about karma, generally, they talk about three types of karma are detailed here in this section. Those three karma, people might have heard, they are called the Sanchita Karma, the Prarabdha Karma, and the Agami Karma. Now, let us go towards understanding what each one of them, Acharya himself is going to define them later, but we will just go through a small discussion about those three karmas. Every action done has a result. Whatever action a person does, there is a result. And this result, that if the action is a good action, if it is a meritorious action, then that may lead to a punya person. Actually, we also mentioned the earlier ones about the results of actions. The results of actions could be a drishta palam, the palam that one can see, or it could be adrishta palam, the palam cannot be seen. So drishta palam, for example, you give some, 10 rupees or 20 rupees to a beggar, and the beggar, the moment you give money to him, the person immediately, he goes buy something, you can see the happiness in his face, he goes buy something and it can quench his hunger or thirst. So this is drishta palam. There is an immediate benefit, immediate effect on the act of giving something to this person. But there is another palam called adrishta palam, the one that cannot be seen, that is in the form of punya and palas. So when the action is a meritorious action, then it gives rise to what is known as punya. And if the activity is not meritorious, then it may lead to papa, depending on the motive and also the gross action. Whatever action, for example, if you just give 10 rupees, the action is mostly good, 10 rupees is given. But if it is given with an attitude of either indifference or insult, then that is not going to give merit at all to such a person. So some results could be visible, that is drishta palam, some are not visible, adrishta palam. And the adrishta palam is subtle, actually it cannot be seen. So these subtle results of action, they are all called karma here, or karma palam, and they give rise to the cycles of birth and death to anybody called samsara. So the subtle elements come into picture as long as the notion of doership is associated with the action. So when I claim the action, then the karma phalam of that action has to go to me. So as long as I claim doership, then the karma phalam will be associated with those actions. These subtle elements, then they have to be experienced in the form of, in the field of experiences. We will have sukham, dukham. If you do a lot of punyam, punya karmas, then the punya karmas will lead to sukham, lot of enjoyment in life. If lot of papa karmas, they may lead to lot of dukham, sorrow in the life. So the form and the environment, they will be dictated essentially by what? By the magnitude of merits and demerits together. And now Sanchita Karma is the component which is a cumulative of all merits and demerits on all births together. For example, whatever action I do in this birth, some of them may give me a result immediately. But before the result for other actions come about, this life might end and there may be a lot of actions I might have done which might not have fetched the benefits, the results for me or the experiences for me in this birth itself. So they remain unfulfilled karmas, karma phala. So they will all go and attach themselves two similar karmas unfulfilled from all earlier janmas. So that is called Sanjita Karma. And now, this is the Sanjita Karma, which is a cumulative of all the merits and demerits. Now, Prarabdha Karma is the component which is the fructifying portion of the Sanjita Karma responsible for this birth. Now, we have got the big bundle of Sanjita Karma accumulated over several births. And among them, only some portion of the karma might fructify at this point in time. Actually, this we can understand very easily by looking at, for example, if you look at this thing as a seed, so many seeds, the mango seed, orange seeds, apple seeds, they are all now seeded at the same time. And they all are watered under the same conditions, but each one of them will give rise to fruits at different times, different points in time, depending on their nature of the seed. An orange tree might give fruit maybe after X number of years. A coconut tree might give after Y number of years. And apple tree might be Z number of years. So depending on the seed, the phalam, they might come at different points in time. The same way, even though the Sanjita Karma bundle has got the bundle of all karmas, only some portion of the karma might fructify at certain point in time, and that portion of the karma that fructifies at this point in time is responsible for this birth, this janma. And that portion which fructifies at this point in time to give rise to this janma, that is called the Prarabdha Karma. So it's the present janma and Prarabdha Karma. And now there is the third karma called Agami Karma. That is the component which gets accumulated from any moment of time now onwards in this birth. Whatever I do in this birth, that also gives rise to the various phalams, and some of them may be experienced in this birth itself, but some may not be. So whatever is the total of all that karma during this birth, that is called Agami Karma, that is the component. So all the subtle results which contribute to the Sanjita Karma from this moment onwards in this birth, that is called, we can call it as Agami Karma, that goes to the Sanjita Karma. So there can be a portion of Agami Karma which may be enjoyed, which can be fructified in this janma itself, in this birth itself. So now the jiva, what happens to the jiva? By ignorance, by avidya, which was basically the reason for this birth itself. The person got into this birth because of his avidya only, has the notion of doership. He claims aham karta, so I am the doer. He claims the actions to be himself. So this jiva, he has a firm conviction, like I am a man, I am the master, I am the manager, I am strong, I am big, I am small, I am the body. All those notions the jiva has. So the Sanchita Karma that gets accumulated, and when the gross body is exhausted, when this person, you know, his lifetime is over, the person now, he has to leave the body, when he takes, and with the prarabdha, it's exhausted, the jiva has to take another birth to enjoy or suffer the consequences, the karma palam of all the unfructified portion of the Sanjita Karma, including the remaining karma palam of this janma. He has to go, so he has to get another body. Again, this is, and again, when he does, takes another body, again he has doership, and the same thing, Agami Karma will be there in that janma also, so it will go and get accumulated to the Sanjita Karma after he dies. And the Agami Karma is prevalent only in the human form because of free will and cognition. Animals, if you take animals and other beings, other living beings, birds, animals, plants, they all live based on what? Based on only instincts. And there is no ego, no ahankara in them, so the notion of doership is not there with them at all, and there is no Agami Karma with respect to for the animals and birds and for all those kinds of creations. Only for human beings, because the human being has got the doership, the being has got this knowledge, this person alone has got this Agami Karma. So Acharya now defines all these karmas, karmani kati vidani santi iti che. What are these? If somebody is in the chase, if it is asked, how many kinds of karmas are there? Karmani kati vidani. How many kinds are there? Santi. If somebody asks that question, and the answer is what? Agami, Sanchita, Prarabdha Bedena, Trividani Santi.
they are trividani santi. There are three kinds of karmas. What are those? Agami, Sanchita and Prarabdha. So these are the three karmas that are there. And jnanotpatyanantaram jnani dehakritam punyapapa rupam karmam yadasti tat agami itya vidiyate. Acharya is now defining what is agami, agami karma. The one which we just went through the discussion, Acharya is now giving the definitions here. The results of actions, good or bad, whatever may be the action, performed through this body of the jnani, we are not talking about the jnani, through the body of the jnani, after the dawn of knowledge is known as agami karma. So, jnanotpatti anantaram, jnanotpatti after the dawn of knowledge, jnani deha kritam punya papa rupam. Jnani, whatever actions he does by his body. Jnani does not claim any action himself, but his body, whatever has been done by his body, jnani deha kritam punya papa rupam. Whatever may be the actions, whether they are good action, bad action, punya, this because for, as far as jnani is concerned, there is no punya papas. But from the point of view of action for the common people, then through the body of the jnani, whatever he has done, those actions, they are called agami karma. And sanchitam karma, kim? If you ask that, if somebody asks the question, what is sanchita karma? Ananta koti janmanam bijabhutam sat yat karma jatam purvarjitam tishtati tat sanchitam jnayam. The result of actions performed in all the previous births, ananta koti janmanam bijabhutam, all the this thing, purvarjitam, these are all ananta koti janmas. One has those crores of births a person has taken, which are in the seed bijabhutam, which are in the seed form, to give rise to what? Yat karma jatam, to give rise to purvarjitam tishtati tat sanchitam jnayam. Endless, this is ananta koti janmanam. So, by endless birth and death, all the previous, which are in the seed form, those karmas, they give rise to endless crores of births in the future. They are called sanchita karma or accumulated karma. So they are the one responsible, because at each point in time, some portion of the sanchita karma is going to rectify. That will begin the prarabdha karma for that janma. That janma will be taken. That prarabdha will be exhausted. More agami will accumulate. It will go and join the remaining sanchita karma. That will rectify at some point in time. So it goes on and on and on. And that is going to be there forever till a person gains jnana. Till he gains this knowledge, it is going to be going on forever. So then that is called sanchita karma. Now, prarabdham karma kimidi ched, what is prarabdha? If it is as, what is the prarabdha karma? Then for which the Acharya gives the definition, idam shariram utpadyam ihaloke evam sukha dukkhadi pradam yad karma tat prarabdham. Bhogena nashtam bhavati prarabdha karmanam bhogadeva kshaya iti. So having given birth to this body, idam shariram utpadya, having got this body, this is prarabdha, is responsible for this body. Having got this body, the actions which give us in this very world, ihaloke, whatever actions you do, they give results in this loka itself. Evam sukha dukkhadi pradam. Actually, there are three types of experiences. Sukham is one, because lot of punya a person has done, he gets lot of sukham. And dukkham, the person does lot of papa karmas, he goes through lot of dukkham, sorrow. And there is mishram, that is the combination of sukha and dukkha. Because somebody has done some punya karmas, some papa karmas, he has done a mixture of both. Then the experiences also, some will be sukham experience, some will be dukham experience. So this mishram means the mixture of sukham and dukham. Sukha dukkhadi pradam, so sukha dukkhadi adi refers to, you know, or the mishram also, yat karma tat prarabdham. So in the form of happiness and sorrow, and they can be destroyed only by enjoying or suffering them. So when punya papa, nature is always fair. If somebody has done good action, then the benefit of those actions, the karma palam, that has to be enjoyed.
If somebody has done papa karmas, then the papa karma also the person has to suffer. So nature always makes sure the punya papas, whatever a person does according to the merits and demerits of those actions, those enjoyments, those experiences are also either enjoyed or suffered. So that is called prarabdha karma. So the acharya now defined the three different types of karma: sanchita karma, agami karma, and prarabdha karma. Now, when the acharya defines all these three different types of karma, then the acharya asserts how a jnani is, who is liberated, a person who is liberated from the binds of this karma. When we say liberation, he is liberated from the binds of the karma. That means the prarabdha karma, that nobody can escape, a person has to only exhaust prarabdha karma. Because having taken this janma, this birth, there is no way one can take a shortcut to escape the afflictions of prarabdha. Agami karma and sanchita karma one can do away with by gaining knowledge. So in the case of a jnani, what do we mean by freedom from this bondage, this samsara, this karma pala? That is the discussion that is going to happen next time, next by the author. And in addition, when we say the karma of the jnani doesn't bind him, then what happens to the karma the jnani does? Because the karma, those karmas still have to have results. And where those results will go? Because it is not binding the jnani, but they have to go somewhere, because it cannot be hanging somewhere. It has to go somewhere where they will go. So, from the jnani's outlook, how he deals with the karma and karmapala, and where the jnani's karmapalam, the sanchita karma and the agami karma, all the things that the jnani does, where they grow, how they get destroyed, that is the next discussion the acharya is going to take up. And from that, the jivan mukta topic, the jnani's, this thing, how the jnani is liberated, that topic, that will conclude with that discussion, which we will see in the next webinar. After concluding that, we will also give a summary of the entire Tattva Bodha chapter. So, because we will at least refresh ourselves, what are the various discussions. So, today karma topic is a very important topic. After discussing the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, the karma topic is an important topic that we discussed today. And now, today what I have also done is to I have asked Srinivasan to send the link of all the lectures which were all given so far. I sent all the lectures to Srinivasan. So I hope he sent the link to all of you. And if there is, I think there is only one lecture, the recording was incomplete, I think. The first few minutes of recording did not happen. So for some reason, so that may be slightly incomplete. So for that lecture alone, if you could take the notes from the our Paramartha Tattvam journal, which I referred earlier, if you could only fill in from that portion, that would be good. So that would be also complete. And for in the next webinar, we should be able to conclude Tattva Bodha after doing the remaining of the discussion and also after giving the summary of the Tattva Bodha full section that we have discussed so far. And because today I am not able to have this display, I will not be able to read any questions or respond to any other question today. So what we will do, please have whatever questions you may have, do me a favor by either writing it to me, sending email to me, or we can have those questions discussed in the next webinar when we go through the remaining portion, and also when we give the summary, we can have the any discussion with respect to the questions onto this portion in the next webinar. So, because I'm not able to see the display in this machine, I'm going to now conclude and we will see next week. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwara Sri Krishna Namaste Narayana.